This is Due by Friday, the weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, slime!
Let's go. Let's get this show on the road.
Team building exercise.
I get it for three weeks.
No.
Let's go.
Why are you going to do that? You going to law school?
We'll talk about it on the show. Everything that happens on the show.
I got to go to
a
law school.
It's part of the show.
It's so Roman. Yes, no good, boss. How am I going to find out what I got to find out? He's going to find out what I got to find out.
That's a very problematic caricature.
I'm so sorry, boss. it's pronounced Chico. Chico, because he chased chicks, which is also very problematic. We should do a group Medium post.
Mm-hmm.
Mea culpa.
I'm sorry for the anti-Semitic memes that I posted.
For all the things you're about to read about me in the paper, I'm very, very, so very sorry. Edward the Penitent.
Please, CNN, do not publish my name, number one. Number two, I'm sorry for the anti-Semitic memes that I posted.
I read that. We've been doing lots of micro-traveling, and I read that in our hotel room.
Is that where you go from one microclimate to the other in San Francisco?
Mm-hmm. That's right. You go from 18th Ave all the way to 20th Ave.
Micro travel. I micro traveled from home to work this morning.
Meep moop.
Look at me. I'm fucking worldly.
I thought that CNN thing was fucked up. I thought the
what
way
part?
They handled
There's
that.
So,
was...
I don't even know what you mean by the CNN thing. What? Tom, explain the whole
what?
Thing to me.
A guy on Reddit made a funny GIF because now I'm saying GIF. Apparently, made a funny GIF of Donald Trump. They, as Todd says, they flopped the video, and it's Donald Trump beating up on the CNN logo, which everybody thought was funny. And they tracked it down to this guy who has a silly Reddit name. And then they started to explain. This guy's so excited. He was having his morning coffee. And the emperor, Trump, liked his funny video. And CNN was like, oh, yeah, you like that? And they kind of like went and like cross. What's the word I'm looking for? They like basically got a bunch of information from all his different social media and identified who he was and fucking called him.
But I don't understand that. This guy made a list of a picture of all the Jewish employees of CNN with like Jewish stars over their faces.
As you do.
I mean, we all do that. But it's like, I don't understand that. Like,
it's
if
just
you're
bullshit.
Making,
it's like it's
if you're
re-
making
it's,
lists of the Jews, don't the Jews have a right to? Who, by the way, the list of the Jews at an investigative news organization, don't they have the right to find out who you are and like tell you to stop?
Do you think as it is this, I don't know, is a Ted Turner thing. Do you think they conceal who the Jews are at CNN? Be honest. Do you think they call it passing strange. They just walk around like normal people, like eating food and sitting in chairs, hiding their horns under elaborate hats. Remove your elaborate hat. Surely you have horns.
Preventing us from going back to the gold standard. No, listen, like, I don't understand this. Like, if you're going to, I don't understand why people are so like, because the conservatives are like, CNN is like bullying this guy. And it's like, the media is like, they're going to dox him. It's like, why don't I understand that? He threatened them. Why would you don't, listen, if you don't want to be doxed, don't threaten the media.
And this is why, okay. All I'm saying is, like, if you're going to go all the way in and tell me something interesting. Like, that's okay. Like, but as
am I wrong about my stance here that he deserved that he 1,000,000,000% deserved this? He anonymously threatened an investigative news organization and they found out who he was, and that's completely justified. Like, what do you expect? It's like if you like stick your stick your dick in an anthill,
yeah,
the ants are gonna sting you. It's like, what did you? Well, why did
yeah,
you
let,
put
let,
in
let
the
anthill? Let the queen file a bug. That's what she does. Scorpion and the frog. I'm just saying that if you're gonna go all the way in, because as it is, it felt like weird extortion. Like, if you're gonna do it and then
what
tell
was
me
weird
something
extortion?
Interesting.
It's what CNN did.
Yeah, the reason they didn't reveal his name was because he got all apologetic about it.
They didn't reveal his name because they contacted him and they said, listen, now we know who you are. Please stop making lists of our Jewish employees.
Yeah.
Jews are very touchy about being about
what
people
is it,
threatening
Max, what
to
is
kill
it with
them.
Jews and, what is it with Jews and lists? Be honest. Is there
– I don't know. I was just going to say we're very touchy as a people about being put on lists and people saying that we should be rounded up and killed and then not being able to defend ourselves. It really sets people off.
It's a cultural thing.
Yeah. It could be.
Yeah.
Why am I laughing at this? I'm just so upset.
You're
going
to have to cut all this out later.
Nope, it's staying in.
All All right, I've got in front of me a large mixing bowl. Oh, I have my bag from Target where I just came from. Let me also, I just want to preface this by saying I'm leaving. I don't know. I feel like it's possibly.
Are you really going to Italy, Max?
It's possible. I was just about to say it's possibly bad operational
OPSEC,
security.
Yeah.
You got to be careful of your OPSEC. Could be bad OPSEC that I'm going to Italy, but to say it on the podcast. But whatever. I trust the Powder Nation. They've got my back. They're not going to let me get put on any lists. Mm-hmm. Here's the deal. I'm going to Italy for. So Veronica's a brother. His company. Did some like exchange program where they where him and his whole family and his three young daughters moved to Munich, Germany for 2 years, and they're nearing the end of their 2 year exchange, and we need to go visit them before they come back. We're kind of nearing the end of that time, so we're going, but we're gonna end the trip in Munich, but we're flying into Rome, and we're gonna go to Rome and Florence and just sort of like tool around Italy for a couple of weeks and then go see Veronica's family and then come back. I think it's the first vacation I've taken since we started Cards Against Humanity in 2010.
Wow.
I believe it's the first vacation I've taken.
More importantly, did you get your Italian driver's license?
I did. I went to AAA and I got an international driver's license.
What car are you renting to go on the Autobahn?
A BMW 5 Series.
Ooh. The only reason I know or care is because of friends of the show who make a podcast called Neutral.
But here's the only thing is I picked that car because, to be honest, I heard them talk about it on Neutral too, and I just rented it because it was available. It was that or a bunch of shitty little smart cars that were all manual transmission, and I didn't. And I actually do know how to drive manual, but I didn't want to. And I think I've heard Casey and Marco talk about the 5 Series. That's a good one, right?
All BMWs are the good ones, right? I mean, it's no falconry car, but it's still pretty good.
Dug a falcon follow-up. do we lose Merlin?
No, I'm here, buddy.
Merlin's been uncharacteristically quiet.
Well, I'm trying to
listen. Are you okay, Merlin?
Are you micro-traveling while you're recording?
No, I'm fine. I've had a lot of coffee.
So did you guys hear the Planet Money about Qatar, or as they call it, Qatar?
Qatar.
No.
So I think I did.
Remind me what that was about.
Remember I was bitching and moaning a couple weeks ago about how I was posted on Facebook, and I was like, can someone explain what's happening in Qatar, and no one can explain it.
Oh, of course, yeah. Of course. Yes,
there's
yes,
a
yes.
very, 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 very good explainer episode of Planet Money, and they have basically they give you a bunch of the geopolitical history and the situation of Qatar and some information about their economy, and then they talk about the three causes of the sort of split between Qatar and Saudi Arabia. And they say it's the orb, the hack, and the falcon. The orb, the hack, and the falcon. The orb, the hack, and the falcon. That's how you can remember it. But there's a lot of big falcon news.
It's a good mnemonic.
So we'll put it in the show notes. But if you want to know what's happening in Qatar and be an informed, responsible citizen, listen to this episode. It was fascinating. You'll learn about the orb, the hack, and the falcon. The orb, the hack, and the falcon.
Remember when
orb, the hack, and the falcon.
The orb, the hack, and the falcon.
Guess how many Gimlet employees there are now.
Oh no! Has it gone up?
I believe there are 75.
Isn't your
people.
Buddy there? Did your buddy get a job there?
Yes.
Friend of the show, James T. Green. Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah. His new show. Oh boy! All right. I really enjoy. I guess we're. I think we should just address the. We don't necessarily need to start our discussion of the challenge, but I challenged Max and Merlin this week to just explore the idea of internet slime. However you would interpret that. Maybe it would be watch some Instagram videos or YouTube videos, or as Max did, buy a bunch of slime ingredients.
I hold in my hands a receipt from Target. Chicago near North Target, 2656 North Elston Avenue.
You shouldn't mention which Target you go to.
Let's see, $4.49, one box of borax. And it's a big boy. I didn't think it would be this big. It's 2,163 mLs. That's a big number of mLs.
A lot of mLs.
Oh, it's 4 pounds of borax. There we go. One,
nice.
Health Beauty Cosmetics Barbasol Original, $1.44. 3X Stationary Office Glue, Elmer's Clear, 7.6 ounce.
I like it when you talk like this. I like when you talk like a staff sergeant in the Army.
And then there's a little dog, and it says, "We hope your trip was a blast." And I assure you it was not. I felt very uncomfortable walking around with all of these items, like some sort of fucking Walter White.
Or a Unabomber, or like a Timothy McVeigh of slime.
Yeah. So Alex and I are very interested in slime.
Mm-hmm.
Alex, do you have that article that I sent out as homework?
The
slime
so.
Explainer article.
Oh, right.
No one read this?
Oh, no, I did. Here's the thing, though. I did not think it was a good one. It's called Goop Therapy, How I Learned to Love My Kids' Obsession with Slime. And this is written from the perspective of a parent who is like, oh, I get it. Kids like slime. But it doesn't go into the, like, why it's so pleasing and delightful.
It's obvious why it's pleasing and delightful, because it feels good in your fingers.
Yeah.
All right. The first thing, so basically, I've got very into slime based on reading this explainer article, and there's a huge fad sweeping the nation of teenage girls who are making slime and playing with it on Instagram and YouTube.
Hot.
Would you eat Elmer's glue?
Yes.
If it's non-toxic, why not?
I would slowly, throughout the course of a school day, I would slowly paint it onto my hand and then peel it off in one long piece.
It's a glove. It's a snack. It's an adhesive. It's everything you want to be.
One of these days, I'm going to get a hangnail, and you know how sometimes you pull it and it just keeps going and going going like a black swan situation?
Oh.
I'm going to get it like one day. I'm going to get it like an Elmer's glue, and I'm going to peel all my skin off in one big piece. I'm going to go. When it happens, I'm going to be so excited. I'm going to go careful, slowly, slowly, slowly. I'm going to be very excited. I'm going to malt.
Like you're opening an electronic product with a little arrow that says grab here. And you just keep pulling.
One big piece. You have to have a smooth motion. You have to have calm, confident hands.
You can't do it too fast or it breaks. It's like peeling an apple. We were camping over the weekend, and one of the moms broke her fingernail halfway down into the nail bed. I didn't even see it.
Good God.
She put a Band-Aid on it, and it's literally all I could think about all weekend was like if I would ever have to see her nail broken halfway down to the nail bed.
Okay, I am emptying a bottle of Elmer's glue into my mixing bowl. That is step number two.
Step number one, or 1.5, was Max putting his microphone into the bowl with the sticky product.
Well, you want it to sound good.
That's all right. And then step 1.5.1 is Alex ordering more microphone covers on Amazon.
No, it's still good.
Okay, all right.
All right, I think I got that.
Sounds like he might be doing some megaphone singing.
All right, I think that got it. Okay, now, I think I do the shaving cream next. Let's see. Step number two, stir in half a cup to one cup of shaving foam, depending on how fluffy you want your slime to be. Well, how fluffy do I want
it to be? Oh, go all out fluffy.
One cup of shaving foam.
We went straight to the challenge really fast this week. This is problematic.
I'm not going to have all this. Oh, my Jesus.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to have all this stuff sitting here for a fucking hour while we talk about Donald Trump. He's not going to rob me of all the joy in my life.
It's just so. See, it's such a pleasant.
Is he going to be mixing for just a second?
No, it's the foam or the shaving cream is coming out of the bowl. This is step three.
All right.
All right, get my spoon.
Oh.
Shaving cream and the glue are. I didn't buy any food coloring, so it's just going to be a white foam.
That's called a marshmallow foam, is the technical term.
Yeah. Very cruel that I can't eat the marshmallow foam.
But it's non-toxic.
It does look very appetizing.
Hold on. I think.
I love the smell of an original Barbasol, an original scent Barbasol.
Oh, yeah, that's a good scent. And it's great. You know, that's all. You know, here's how they get you. For shaving cream, you mostly need water. Water is the most important part of shaving cream. Hot water. And then just put anything on your face.
Are you a shower shaver?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, I got
it's
a whole system.
It's
I got a
fucking
whole
game changer.
System.
It's a fucking game changer.
You know what you do first? You put on some olive oil. You put olive oil on
Whoa.
Your face.
Whoa.
What?
You don't need shaving oil. You don't need shaving. You put olive oil on your face a few minutes before.
I don't think I'm into the oil.
You take a kettle and you get boiling hot water. You pour that in. If you're like me, you got one of those cool rubber shaving cups for using. And then you get two Harry's blades. You get your old Harry's blade and your new Harry's blade. And what you do is you get.
I need an old priest and a young priest.
Never speak to me or my razor again.
I think we did that joke last week, or maybe it was in the episode that got edited out.
And then once you're in there, you put on shaving cream as soon as you get in. Also, I dip my shaving, my shower shaving mirror, I put it in hot water to heat it up, because the problem with fog, as Veronica will tell you, because of science, the problem with fog is that that thing is cooler and drier than the room that it's in. So you get it wet and hot.
I have to say, I don't have a big issue with fog. I just sort of splash some hot water on the mirror. And
yeah, but then you go in, you lather up over the olive oil layer. And then you do all your stuff. You shower, you wash your hair, knowing that you're just going to throw all that shaving cream away in a minute. Now you start over. You wash it all the way off. You start over, put new shaving cream everywhere.
You do two, you shave twice?
No. I cream twice.
So you cream, you rinse, you cream again, and then you shave.
Here's the three most important parts of shaving: moisture. So you get a nice base layer of Barbasol. You get that on there. You let it set. Now you get your Neutrogena. You clean your hair. You get your soap, and you clean your dingus. And then at this point you're going, oh no, my shaving cream, because it's all coming off. If you know what I mean. So now you do another one. Now you take your mirror out of the hot water.
Can I ask what kind of shaving cream you're using?
Yes, you there. Right now I've got not Barbasol, but the other cheap one. I've got the Harry's ones, but they're fine. But honestly, cheap shaving cream is fine. And then at that point, now you start with your old Harry's blade, because you know you got several handles at this point. With your old Harry's blade, you get off the big stuff, and then you use your second new Harry's blade to go through and do the little stuff.
Oh.
For those following along at home, I am now adding the borax mixture. Oh, look at that. It's actually really coming together. I'm adding it one teaspoon at a time until it clumps up into one big piece. And I have to say, I put in one teaspoon and I get a pretty dramatic result. It's sort of rapidly.
What's it called?
Together.
The like the congealing agent?
Veronica said it makes a polymer, so maybe it's it's a polymerizing or something.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is top ASMR content.
Yeah, I think about it a lot because, as you probably know, borate and acetyl polymer better used to chromatograph non-glycosylated hemoglobin differentially from glycosylated hemoglobin. Chiefly HbA1c, which is an indicator of long-term hyperglycemia and diabetes mellitus.
You sound like these guys on Twitter who, as soon as we almost go to war, they suddenly like know every fact about fucking Mongolia, and they're like, "Well, their chief export is sheep, so this is really going to be
actually Mongolia is a land
of sheep stability." It's like,
well, actually, Mongolia is a land of contrasts. It's very difficult to understand.
Well, their staple grain is corn, or as the American Indians called it, maize.
You should spend at least 8 minutes. A lot of people only spend like 3 minutes really figuring it out. Anhydrous borax. So that's how you shave. And then, you can rinse.
Holy shit, this is very satisfying. It's very sticky.
You need to add more borax then.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Nice.
I've heard you can over borax it.
You can, and it'll get too hard. But if it's still sticking to your hand and sticking to the bowl, you need to add more borax.
Mm-hmm.
Back in with the spoon. Oh, okay. Oop.
Okay, so shaving, Merlin. You've got all of the. All right, I'm just gonna skip. I need to know: Are you a bar soap person?
For when I wash my body.
Yeah.
Really? Who fucking uses a bar soap? Don't you use a liquid? Doesn't everyone at some point reach an age where? Oh my god. Okay. I'm sorry. There's too much happening at once on this episode.
I'm not anti-liquidic, but I like a bar soap.
Amazing.
I get a good lather going. Yeah.
It's really cool.
It is. I used some at our hotel last night. It was nice. It was a shower douche, they call it, and that was nice.
Don't,
I used that.
Doesn't everyone grow up and reach an age where they no longer want a bar of soap, and they just like they accept that liquid soap is like better and
they probably
more
should.
Convenient.
If you really think about it, it's pretty gross.
I never used bar soap. In fact, part of my slime is this was a transition. I've recently accepted Lush as a product.
Yes.
That
you've transitioned. Yeah. And now you do what you do a bath bomb?
Alex.
No, I do not have a bath. However, I have the Whoosh shower jelly. And I quote from the salesperson at Lush. They're kind of like Apple Genius people. They're like, "Oh, touch it. It feels like a boob." I don't know why you would think that appeals to me, but all right.
Oh, it does look like a boob. Look at that.
It's so squishy.
It's like a robot boob.
My hands are covered in glue and borax. Mm. Oh, you know, wow.
I was like, well, it's not a very, maybe this is an aged boob, but it's very.
It's like a robot boob. And does it maintain the integrity of the boob over time?
Well, no, here's the thing. So you take it out, you put it on a cutting board, and then you slice off the amount you want to use for your shower.
I should have known this was coming.
But yeah, I don't understand the bar soap.
You spend so much more of your life thinking about slicing things than I do. I need to up my game. Boy, look at all these products.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Lush.
My greatest fantasy in life is to go into a Lush and eat everything in this store.
It looks like you should be able to do that.
You can eat stuff. Man, I just want to say,
you've got to fucking fondle this soy.
Oh, boy.
This is one of the most delightful things I've ever experienced in my life. If you're listening to this program and you do not make this slime, you're seriously fucking missing out. It was very easy, and that is one of the most satisfying things I've ever squeezed in my hands.
Let's make sure we put your recipe in show notes. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to make a bubble. Oh no!
Oh, listen to it. It's
fresh.
Oh, I got some bubbles.
I can hear the crackle.
Apparently, if you leave there we go. If you leave your borax-based slime overnight, you'll get more bubbles, and you can do the twisty swirl. This is a technical Instagram.
Toss my slime over.
Oh, I'm not gonna toss the slime.
It looks like the you know, in the Ghostbusters when the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man explodes,
yes,
and there's,
yes,
his goo all over everyone. It looks like the goo from the Marshmallow Man.
Oh, that's nice.
It smells
nice, you
so
can make
pleasant
that at home.
Too.
It does smell very pleasant.
I have a mixture of like the all natural borax slime and my Lush shower jelly, and it's just, oh, it smells really good in here. Merlin,
this is so satisfying.
I feel like you're so left out.
Oh. No, this is amazing.
All right, well, here's the deal. One bottle of Elmer's school glue, dump it into the bowl. One cup of Barbasol.
Yeah, be sure and just read it on the podcast. That's something people will definitely
listen. Pull over. What are they doing that's so important? Mm-hmm. I'm fucking giving them the secret to happiness right here. Mm. One cup of Barbasol, and then you one teaspoon of your borax mixture. Listen to me, not the borax. Don't be an idiot.
The borax mixture.
One teaspoon of the borax mixture at a time. I had to put about three in. And here's what the borax mixture is: it's one cup of hot water and one teaspoon of borax. Boom.
Nice.
You got your slime.
It feels good. It smells good. It sounds like this is really working out for you.
Yes.
I honestly, this is probably my favorite challenge on the podcast so far.
Me too.
It's.
No, I'm into it.
Oh, the amount of joy that's happening. I wish you could experience it. You know,
I am.
Listeners, oh, I think you can. You can start driving again.
All right. So let me go back up for 1 second. So we're leaving on this Italy trip for like a couple weeks. We leave like tomorrow morning. I really should be doing stuff. Instead I spent the morning fucking wandering around Target trying to figure out what borax looked like. So that was my morning.
Well, that's the thing. I went to like briefly. I was at a 7-Eleven. I'm like, I wonder, because I still don't fully understand what borax is based on this box.
No, it says laundry. It says laundry, kitchen, bathroom on it.
Yeah, yeah, of course. All the great rooms. And the only thing I could think was, they're like, what's borax? I'm like, well, you know the borax kid from Futurama? And the guy's like, no. And I was like, well, it's not on Netflix anymore, because I don't know how to interact with people.
Oh, I self-checkout. I went hardcore self-checkout on this. I did not want to have to explain
it. Oh, you guys, that's such a sucker's game.
What do you mean?
Place your borax back on the dingus. It's
You know what? I had no problems, and they didn't ask me any question. Like, oh, you're making a slime? Yes, I'm making a slime.
You sure like limes.
Is it for your daughter? No, I don't have a daughter. I'm a grown man. I'm making slime for my podcast.
Are you thinking of having one? Are you thinking of having a baby?
Well, that's a lot of oranges you're buying. What are you going to do with all those oranges?
You sure like oranges. Are you making a pie?
the worst, whenever we go to conventions and like we do one like big Target run, and the worst is like, oh, so what are you doing? I see there's some poster boards, some markers, and I'm just like, I always lie and say I'm a teacher. Because I have.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I don't want to explain. Well, there's this card game. Oh, my God.
So let me ask you this. I'm very anxious about this trip because not for any rational reason. I'm just worried about going out of town. Merlin, you mentioned you have like a 700 item long to-do list about going
out of town. I have all of the anxieties. We talked about this in the secret private channel. I have all of the anxieties about travel that mostly disappear as soon as I'm on the road, but I'm racked with anxiety regardless of the size of the trip because I have so much rote bullshit I've got to get through in order to feel okay with leaving the house. And I don't consider myself to have the three-letter disorder that we're not supposed to name. I'm not like that. I'm just like, maybe I'm a little like, yes,
wait,
yes.
Wait, guys, I have been diagnosed with minor OCD amongst all
how
my other
it,
things.
How does it manifest itself?
Oh, many things.
I ask as Alex is fingering a ball of foam slime. Mm.
Yeah, there are certain things with touching certain foods. You know, it's basically your... run-of-the-mill OCD, as you will. I don't have so much of the counting things, but if I don't, like, hug Mel before she leaves the house, I'm convinced that she is dead. Like, just 100% convinced that my wife has died. But, you know, that's...
Did you hug her?
That's today? Why I did. So my wife isn't dead. but yeah, I'm
keep
the
hugging
phone
Mel. I'm a big fan.
Yeah. But all right, so travel, the
lists, you got to have these lists.
All right, here's what I've done. Mm-hmm. Here's how my anxiety manifests before I travel is I think of things that I should probably buy for the trip that I could easily buy at any convenience store anywhere in the world, even if I was in the middle of nowhere. So the big one I got for this trip is, I got a third party dingus to be able to put an SD card into my iPad.
Smart.
For my camera.
Yes.
And because I was concerned about, I want to be able to take pictures, and I'm not bringing a laptop. It's the first time in my entire life I've traveled since I got my first computer that was
my
personal.
You're just bringing your big boy.
Just bringing my 10.5 inch iPad running the iOS 11 beta that Plex doesn't quite work on because I'm a fucking idiot.
I'm so excited.
Why
for you.
I've upgraded to a beta, an early beta of iOS before I went on this trip escapes me.
Because it feels like, you have to admit, it feels like you're kind of using an iPad without training wheels with iOS 11. Minus the times it doesn't work.
Can we talk about this, or is this too boring and obscure for our show?
You know, no, I want to talk about
it. Doesn't feel like
iPad.
I'm using it without training wheels. It feels a lot worse. And more, let me give you one. Maybe there's something I'm missing, and there's a way to do this. In the old iPad, you could do slide over and have like another window come up, and it would show you all the applications that worked in slide over. So it's like, oh, I only need Slack like a couple times a week, but it's there if I need it. I just scroll, and click on Slack. Now, if it's not in your dock, you can't put it in slide over. Is that correct?
That's definitely not correct.
Okay, how do I put Slack in slide over?
Well, you may have run into a bug. Just really quickly, you may have run into a little bug that I ran into, which is, so are you just not getting slide over at all? Sometimes?
No, it works. It works from the dock. So the way I do it is I swipe up.
But I mean, if you do Mr. Popover Guy, where you like go off the screen and you go whoop, from right to left, sometimes that doesn't work and you need to do a restart.
From right to left?
Well, like if you just want to do the slidey overy, like instead of full on picky uppy, like if you just want to do slide over to have one password show up in the way you're describing, sometimes that doesn't work on iOS 11 and you need to restart to make it work.
Oh, I know what you're saying. That does work for me, but the problem is
You don't get the list like you like.
Yeah, so the problem is I have like, you know, six or seven of my daily apps in the dock, but sometimes I want in slide. Sometimes I'm watching a movie, but I need to check Slack, and
so
it's not in the dock.
Max wants back the feature that everybody hated for 2 years.
People didn't like that interface?
No.
Well, it was clunky, but I know, no. But you're describing something that's very, I think, normal, which is that, like, this thing's a piece of shit, but it's a dependable piece of shit, which is that you knew that if you did the slidey ovary, you could go grab the dingus at the top and go digga, 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 and, like, you would eventually get to notes or one password or what have you.
Right. And, yeah, that's a good point. Do I wish that interface, like, worked better?
It was totally shitty, but you knew how it worked.
But I do miss, yeah, it is a little disorienting to me that, like, there's literally no way to put an app on the side of the screen if it's not in the dock.
Can you drag down from Spotlight returns? Does that work? I mean, I'm asking Alex because she would know. Well, like, there's all kinds of stuff. Like, there's neat stuff in Spotlight returns. Like, if you're on your phone, I only discovered this a couple months ago. If you're on your compliant recent phone, You do a spotlight search, you can do like 3D touch on icons. It still doesn't have reveal in Finder or whatever that would be, which I would really like, but you can do tons of that stuff. I'm wondering if one good use for this, I don't know if you can do this now, but one nice way would be do a spotlight, have it show up, and then be able to drag that icon down to the right and have that become your right column. That would be, to me, that would make a lot of sense.
I don't know.
I don't have mine here, I don't think.
Neither do I. The main thing that I worry about in iOS 11 is like being able to find the features is a lot harder, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Like the slidey ovary confused people, but then it made some people.
Have you guys heard this thing that someone said? I hope it's not Merlin because I'll sound like an idiot. But
yeah.
Someone said that gestures on iOS should be like keyboard shortcuts on OS X,
mm-hmm.
where it's like my parents, mm-hmm. for example, I don't think they know a lot of keyboard shortcuts on their Mac. But for a power user like me, they're there and they let me do a lot. Like keyboard shortcuts in like Gmail or in the system are like, you know, very, very, very powerful and time saving. That's sort of how like gestures should work on iOS. Like you should not ever need to use a gesture to do anything you need to do because it's very confusing and upsetting for people who don't know the gestures.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know the gestures, they should make you really powerful in the system. And I do think iOS is like moving in that direction. Was that a thing you said, Merlin? Did I just
I don't think so, but I do agree. And there's the corollary of the part of the problem with 3D touch is for people like me who use it a lot, it's fantastic. But because it's not supported on every device, and because it's not clear like what should happen when I do this, the adoption has been slow because you don't want to put anything into 3D touch that's only available in 3D touch, which greatly hinders how quickly you're going to be able to innovate with that. But like, yeah, no, I think the gesture example is a good one. Like for me, dumb stuff like magic tricks, like five finger pinch, like a lot of people don't know that one. Like five finger pinch is kind of magic if you've never seen it before. Four finger slide to go to the previous app, pretty great. And the four finger, four finger to go to the previous app, like that has gotten way better on iOS 11 where its memory for that is really good. But I take your point. The other one is like, and not to go too deep in this because we're talking about slime, but like everybody says, control panel is exciting but needs so much help right now. The need to like fully, like I'm constantly, to get to my overcast backwards and forwards, I was always constantly doing the flip up, slide over one, and then like tap, 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 right? And now you have to do full drag all the way up to get to the control panel. And then if you want to really get there, like even if you do a long press on the overcast or the now playing, it doesn't take you into that app like it does in every other implementation. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
You know, there's like long presses you can do on everything, almost everything in Control Center that does something neat, totally not obvious, that mm-hmm. if you long press on that, it will do something.
I do hope they change the, I don't have my night mode set to like regular times. And that's kind of a pain in the ass to get to now. And man, I'm trying to focus, but this is like this to me is the best Saturday night. Listening to Merlin Mann talk about iOS and then hearing slime noises in the background.
Do you want me to make you a slime, Alex? Because I have materials here.
I have so many thoughts on these things and nowhere to talk about them. No one cares what I think. I have so much to say about all of this.
I care. I'm interested.
I'm just also playing with slime.
No, that's fine. I also have some things I need to read to you at some point. But
you have some things to read to me?
Oh, I surely do.
Well, fucking read them. I don't have anything prepared for this episode.
Dig, dug, dig, dug, diggling.
Digga, 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 digga. Sheriff's log. Tiburon Peninsula. We spent two nights in Tiburon, which is a fancy little peninsula up in Marin.
Are you compromising your OPSEC here?
I don't tell anybody where I go until I've already been there.
Is it a mistake that I did that?
Yes.
Let me just clarify to our listeners.
Yes.
You'll never fucking find me in Italy. You have no idea where I'm going to be. And if you
sound like
my
Ben
house,
Kingsley in Iron Man 3.
You'll never track me down. Listen, and here's the other thing. My house, it's booby trapped with a series of shotguns with a string tied around the trigger. So if you try to come in, the shotguns will go off. And also, I have a housekeeper.
You got your Dale Gribble train set going around with bombs and fucking Home Alone cutouts.
I have four Arlo brand Netgear security cameras fucking trained on those doors 24/7. I will catch you if you try to enter my home. I will destroy you. And my brother is house sitting, so he will set off a series of Home Alone style traps, like bowling balls and logs coming down the stairs, and you will rue the day that you broke
into
my
house.
Good news,
Max. They fell for the paint can.
You should just have him release like 4 Macaulay Culkin. I don't know what it is.
I added an Arlo security camera looking at my cordless drill. good luck stealing that drill, bitch.
They all depend on the burglar having to remove his shoes. Sheriff's Log, Tiburon Peninsula. City Slicker, 7:43 p.m., June 22nd on Dingle and Dingle. Caller reported a person who lives in San Francisco contacted them saying they were looking to buy a house in the caller's neighborhood. The caller was unsettled that someone had gotten his name. Advice was given. Express yourself. 5:25 p.m., June 23rd, Dingle and Dingle caller reported a driver threatened him when he told her to stop honking her horn. Advice was given. Digga Digga 3, house music, colon. 7:47 p.m., June 24th, Dingle and Dingle. Caller reported a downstairs neighbor was playing loud music and he wanted her to quiet down. Deputy spoke with a resident who was practicing DJing and agreed to use headphones. Deputy spoke with the caller and suggested the pair agree on a certain date and time the neighbor could practice DJing. Finally, digga digga digga, bogus bills. 3:32 p.m., June 22nd, a Redwood High... Oh, excuse me. Dingle and Dingle, frontage road caller, who works at a fast food restaurant, reported a person tried to pass off 2 fake $20 bills. Caller said the manager confronted the customer, who then took the money and left. Deputies were unable to locate the person. The caller was said that they would call back if the person returned. That sounds good. Is that your Barbasol?
That's the shaving cream.
I'm making another foam for Alex.
But doesn't it make you feel good that somebody wants to DJ and, like, you just put on some headphones and Hakuna Matata, you're making nice with your neighbor. Isn't that nice?
I just really feel like I could make some friends at Dingle and Dingle. Like, there's Dingle enough weirdos, and I could sit at the corner.
It all goes down to Dingle and Dingle. Where's those paper towels? I've had a disaster.
Dingle and Dingle is going to be like Celebration. It's going to be like this planned community of incredibly busybody people where everybody there is incredibly suspicious of everyone else by design.
How many sister wives will I be allowed to have at Dingle?
All of them. All of them of Max.
Because that's what I'm in. That's what I'm in for.
Yeah, it's going to be like Disney World meets Stasi, which I guess is Disney World.
I was really excited for the 4th of July because I assumed that I, in crime and safety, it would just blow up in my neighborhood. No. Next door has nothing.
Let me go check in.
My crazy Facebook group explicitly banned gunshot or firework posts.
Oh my God! There's
like,
so many.
It's always fireworks.
Like, you will be removed from this group if you post.
Everybody's been sharing this app you can get that helps you identify where illegal fireworks happen through triangulation. If everyone used this, we'd be able to find these people.
They're
really against fireworks?
The dogs. It upsets the dogs.
Who fucking gives a shit?
Because the 4th of July is the day of the year where
Scrooge. How like awful of a person you have to be to hate.
It upsets the doggos.
Yeah, and more dogs get lost.
Don't start with that
July.
Shit. We have no amnesty for fucking puppers and doggos.
Oh, you don't like puppers and doggos? Let me send you some photos. I'm gonna send you some photos.
This is the decline of the American Empire right here. You're
he said, making slime off Mike.
I'm on mic.
You're barely on mic. You sound like Rudy Valley.
I cannot handle these fucking doggo people.
He thinks he's people.
Like the dog rates guy.
Oh.
What? Why?
They're all good dogs, Marks.
Listen to something funny. I don't know. There's like actual comedy that you could consume.
You know what? I don't think people are there for the doggo and pupper commentary, but the actual pictures of the dogs.
It's a crazy. So I don't know. Have you been following the whole political scandal that he's been embroiled in?
So like, oh, that guy. No,
he made some. The dog rates guy. He made some sort of comment about. Oh no, he made a T-shirt about. Oh, I know what it was. It was Covfefe. Yeah. He made a Covfefe T-shirt. And which is whatever. We all are. Oh my God. He did a naked cash grab. People got mad that he's like, oh, you're profiting off of the president. And, so.
Because
because
it was off brand with We Rate Dogs.
Sure. And it was all, yeah, sure. They got, but anyway, they got mad. They felt like he was, that it was like too much of a shameless cash grab or whatever. So he was like, okay, I can save this. I'm going to donate all the money to Planned Parenthood, and then you can't be mad at me. And then all the right-wing people came out, and they were like, I thought this was like a funny doggo space, and, you know, I'm not here for your...
I want the puppers. Space. Bring the puppers.
Yeah, I thought this was a safe space to talk about doggos and puppers, and I don't want to, you know, your abortion politics in my thing. And then he said he was going to give the money to another cause, and he apologized. And then the left-wing got even more mad at him, because they're like, you're not standing by a woman's right to choose. And I just, the whole thing is fucking crazy to me.
Yeah.
Stick with puppies.
Do you follow Wholesome Memes?
They're good dogs, Brent.
Wholesome Memes, you follow that one?
What? What's wrong with Wholesome Memes?
No one is funny on Twitter anymore.
I like Wholesome Memes.
All Twitter is not funny except for Donald Trump, except for the official @RealDonaldTrump account, which is very funny.
Five syllables, anhedonia. You got anhedonia, Max. You are incapable of love.
No, I love slime.
You don't like fun.
I love fun.
Mm.
Remember when Twitter was funny?
Yes, I do.
Hot Dogs Ladies and that sandwich guy and the Scott guy.
Bring back, what was it, Favard? The good one?
Oh, yeah.
Favard, yeah.
Favard. Bring back Favard and bring back Barack Obama so Twitter can make Twitter funny again. Bring back Obama.
You know what else is great? Is for a long time on Favard, Dean would turn Markdown into proper formatting. That was the best.
Is that why you used to tweet in Markdown? I always used to be like, Merlin must be confused.
I still tweet in Markdown because I'm a gentleman. If it's a title, it's in italics.
Whenever I see that, I'm like, maybe Merlin is confused.
People,
or more likely, you set up some sort of out of control automation system workflow that can't be stopped.
Actually, I just run it through Pages, and then I have a Perl script that pulls that down, and that gets pushed up to the cloud server where the instance is able to spawn a Git.
Oh no! God! It's so Merlin. This is really good.
I made another batch of slime.
I'm so glad you guys are enjoying it. That's nice that.
This is great radio.
Is that one too hard?
No, mm-hmm. No. Yeah, it's like actual dough. This is like a sourdough type slime. Mm. Merlin, have you ever made bread? You seem like a bread guy.
I think I've probably made bread. I feel like I've probably made bread. My wife has a mixer, and she makes mixed things. And I think bread's one of those things. Sure, my daughter makes bread at camp all the time, almost every day.
This sounds like the best camp in the world.
She goes to a different camp every week now.
What?
And they're all good camps, Bart. But no, it's good. There's one she goes to where you make bread, and then you take it home at the end of the day. You can put cheese. You can put garlic. You can do whatever you want with it.
The only camp I ever went to was at the local zoo, but it was actually just a farm. And
camps, man.
It was the and we were so lucky because we got to clean up all the animal shit. And
did you go to Banner Day Camp?
No. Oh, what's that?
That was the camp that everyone went to on the North Shore.
No, I was a Western suburb kid. We didn't really have camps because our parents were afraid that we'd be kidnapped and that an anthrax would be in our Smarties, and it was a whole thing.
It can be good. You know what's important? I'm going to say this. I'm just going to stipulate this. If you're going to camp, especially it's one you haven't been to a lot or you're not that into it, it helps a lot to have a pal. I think this is true in life. It's nice to have a buddy. No, I'm not saying
when I go to like a conference, I have to go with a buddy.
You need a buddy. You can have so much fun if you've got a buddy. And if you want to part ways and split up for a little while, you can. But it's really nice to have somebody
Here's the thing. I love when I go to a conference. I really like meeting new people, like all the cool people at the conference. Mm-hmm. However, I'll never do that alone. But if I have a buddy, then we can invite people. Hey, you want to come get lunch with me and my buddy? And if they suck, you can make fun of them together afterwards. Yeah. So it's risk-free.
I've done that. Yeah,
it's risk-free. See, it's the way to go.
No,
like when you go to like what did Casey call it? He called it
dub dub.
That's got to stop.
That's
the fucking doggo and popper of the computer world. When Casey went to a dub dub,
it sounds like a beluga whale having a stroke.
Dub 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 dub. Alex, when you went to dub dub alone, that freaked me. It freaked me out. Dub dub.
Here's the thing, though.
What did you do there? You didn't have a buddy.
What did you do? Dub dub.
Because if I had...
What a good announcement to dub dub this year.
Dom Dom is a free conference. Hand him a sock.
This is what happens if you go to camp or a conference with somebody you already know. You do not expand your social circle, and especially if you are like me,
That's so false. That's the only way you expand your social circle is you go like, hey, come and join the circle.
Well,
you become attractive. This is all like that guy with the rings hypnotizing you with his hat. He'll tell you you're much more attractive if you have somebody with you. If you've got a buddy, bring a doggo or a pupper or
listen,
a dub dub.
Almost every friend that I've ever made at a conference, it was because I sat down with someone I already knew and started playing like werewolf and invited people to join us. And then
that's
by
right,
the end of the night,
Negan.
You have a safe sort of controlled way to katamari people into your friendship ball.
I should revise the statement. It's not that I went like completely alone without knowing people, but I did not have like the main point of contact, the main
you're
person.
You're a celebrity,
like, I was...
and people
oh,
want
God,
to
no.
meet you. Oh, no. Here I go. Oh, this is my new brand. My new brand is I'm Alex, and I'm confused that people like me. People fucking love you, and they want to meet you. I saw.
You're the
it. I made people
star of the hit podcast Due by Friday.
Last year, I made people meet you, and they were thrilled.
It was me,
that's
but
right.
then people found out I was a Jew.
She's not a secret Jew, is she? Have you checked her papers, Max? Be honest.
Alex could be part
I'm
Jew.
I'm only like a tiny bit Jew. When the Kaminskys came to America,
one drop, just one
invented.
Drop.
You inherited all of the mental illness, but none of the.
Yeah, it was great.
But you don't get invited to the secret meetings, and you're not given any gold.
I didn't get to go to Israel. I had no.
They call it the Jewish bargain.
You don't have to be Jewish to go on Birthright. You just have to like identify as.
But it helps.
No, seriously, you could have easily gone on Birthright.
One of my favorite plots in Orange is the New Black. I told you guys this episode was going to be weird. I have had zero sleep. Those fireworks just did not stop. And now
you're like a doggo.
You're
like a little pupper. It doesn't like the noise.
Why are
do you guys think we're going to see a lot of doggos and puppers at Dub Dub this year?
Maybe then I go to Dub Dub. It's for the doggos and the puppers. 13 out of 10.
Can I complain about another thing on Twitter that's very upsetting to me that's
yes.
up there with the doggo and the pupper? Okay, mm-hmm. There's a joke that people do where they say how they thought someone else typed something. So you could be like you go on and you're like you make a tweet and you're like, I had a great croissant for breakfast.
I read that as fart butt.
Yeah, and they're like,
shut up.
And they're like, I read that as you ate ass for breakfast. Isn't that funny? No, it's not funny.
That as cum
blister. Stop fucking telling me that. Nobody cares how you read it. It's literally the definition of like a joke that's only funny to you.
First time I read that, I read it as jizz blister. Shut up. Don't say that.
I get that every day. Someone's like, oh, I thought you said astronaut.
I'm pretty sure that this is me at least once a week.
Just don't. I mean, listen, everybody has that thought. Like, I have to do like double takes and look at something again. But don't fucking articulate it. It's not comedy.
It's make Twitter funny again.
Bring back Obama. Make Twitter funny again. All right, listen.
Restore the dictator to the hell.
I have another thing I need to address on the podcast. Yeah. It's a light week. I don't have a lot of notes here.
You got to go to Italy, Max, or somewhere else.
I've been buying a lot of like USB dongles and like sanitizing wipes and things to take on my trip. Listen, we're dealing with a situation in the office bathrooms right now that I think I need to publicly address.
I don't even know about this. Please continue.
I think you're going to know about it when I mention what's occurring. Right. Okay. At the office, we provide for our coworkers and employees very generously, although we are under no obligation to do so, we very generously provide 2-ply toilet paper. Now, most of my life have not had access to 2-ply toilet paper. Mm. My parents had it growing up, but like when I was in college, it was 1-ply. It was fucking mm-hmm.
Scott.
It was a fucking
you probably
roll
had Scott. You had the generic Scott, big fat hard rolls of single ply toilet paper that tore your ass like sandpaper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was basically like when you get served a pastry and there's like a sheet of thin little paper underneath it in your basket. It's that.
It's a rite of passage, really.
It was horrible. I couldn't stand it. And I even went out and priced out how much the college was saving by doing 1-ply versus 2-ply. And it was like, because I was on student government and I was felt that it was like a student issue. And it was honestly, we were saving like $300 a year. And I was like, you could save everyone's assholes for just $300 a year.
It's
just fucking
a rite
do it.
Of
I
passage.
Was like, I will raise the money. I'll do a fucking bake sale and sell like bran muffins to raise money. For the two part. So anyway, I never wanted to go through that again in my life. And we got a two-ply toilet paper for the office. And we have a situation that transpires in the bathrooms that completely fucking befuddles me. Where I go into the bathroom.
Do you get accidental peelers? You get peelers?
We've got peelers. We have big
time
peelers.
Fuck that noise. Fuck that hard.
Somehow they do. They somehow separate the two plies from each other.
You know how that ruins it for everyone?
And one ply wraps back around the toilet paper, and then they pull it, so you're getting both plies at once, but it's like two sides of the sandwich butter out. And you and every time you unroll it, they're
you
further
make it
unpeeling,
worse.
And you can hear it tearing. It's like, I was like, when you undo it. Who does this? Like, that's fucking, every time I go in, you have to unpeel, you have to gingerly separate them and pull the one ply back around and get it back into alignment so that the two plies are affixed to each other. But do people not understand that the soft side faces out?
Maybe people have not had the privilege of having two-ply toilet paper.
Who thinks I'm going to gingerly take my fingers. I'm going to take this piece of paper and I'm going to slowly, one motion, steady hands. I'm going to slowly peel the two plies apart. Maybe, is that someone's fetish?
Do you think it's like somebody who picks the shrimp out of the leftover chow mein? You think, I prefer the top layer. Do you think there's somebody who thinks, like, oh, I want the fancy part, I'm going to leave this for all the suckers? Or I think it's an accident. I think it happens. It starts with the start. It starts with the start, because if you don't get the start right, it gets fucked up, right? And so you get the start right. Make sure you should assign someone to this and have them go in and make sure the roll starts right. But then you start unpeeling, and now you got two rolls of toilet paper doing nothing.
So we do have... Okay, so we do have an sort of Hagrid situation. We have some sort of like gig economy, like office cleaning company that comes in every so often to like restock the toilet paper in the bathrooms and stuff. And I think they're setting the toilet paper up correctly because I've explicitly told them to go over. Okay, let's just address this on the podcast.
It's the only way. Unless you're Canadian and a monster, it's got to come over the top.
This whole bit of like, big controversy. Do you put the toilet paper like over or under? Like, nobody puts it under. It's a mechanically unsound way of doing it.
You think it's fake news?
You get no leverage. Like, have you ever tried to rip a listen. The whole, do you guys people understand how to operate a toilet paper dispenser? You pull off the amount you need, and then one solid motion, you go rip, and it comes off. It's fucking perforated into little squares. It's under, and you go rip, guess what? It all fucking unspools like you're a cat.
It's like having a cat. Everybody in your office is a cat at that point.
Why would anyone go under? It's not, this shouldn't be one of those things of like, do you like nuts in your cookie or not? No, that's like 50-50. It's like, there's only one fucking defensible, sensible position on this, which is it should always go over so you have torque when you go to rip.
Mm-hmm. This
These
is
people
one of
have
those,
no torque.
No, this is one of those situations where everybody's going to tweet at me and not and they
tweet at Alex Cox and explain your reasons. Explain your reasons for possibly doing anything other than over. Because I'm curious what sort of fucking mental gymnastics people have to do to justify to themselves some sort of perverted worldview where they need to go under.
I have an exact reason for this. If you have a doggo or a pupper or a kitty or whatever, and they figure out how to
they get their small beans.
They get their small beans in there.
Oh, you're talking about the toe beans?
Yep, they get their beans up in there. So for 3 months of my life, I...
Don't people train their cats not to do these things?
Yes, exactly. Like, I train them.
If I see my cat got into the habit of like, knocking our air plant over and spilling the like air plant rocks all over. And I yelled at her. I was like, stop it. I said, stop knocking over the air plant. And she got very upset and sulked away. And guess what? The airplane's never been knocked over again. It's like these people, they're not children. They're animals.
Well, that's, again.
You scare them a little bit and they'll never do it again.
Strict father. My goodness.
But again, not a person. It's a fucking animal.
Oh. Wow.
Operant conditioning literally works on animals.
Wow.
It's not a child. It's not a child. Not a child. I wouldn't do this to a child, but it's an animal. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Are people going to be mad at me about this? Is this going to get edited out?
No, it's not going to get edited out. I have seen the way Max takes care of his cat. He's not cruel at all. He's...
I yell at her if she does something bad. And
but
then,
wait, so you wouldn't yell at your kid?
No, I would teach my kid. I don't know. I would do something different if I had a child.
My wife and I had a conversation a couple weeks ago where she sat me down and she said, we need to talk. And I was like, ugh. She's like, listen, we need to talk about the cat and her whiskers because I think she might have whisker fatigue. And I said, you're high. What does
what
that mean?
What is whisker fatigue?
Well, Alex, are you aware of whisker fatigue?
No, not. What is this?
If your cat has whiskers, which it should, unless you're a monster, the thing is, when your cat has to bend over and stick its filthy face into the bowl to eat or drink, it's pulling. See, look at me right here. I'm pulling back on the whiskers, and those whiskers. That's how they experience the world. That and their toe beans. Mm-hmm. And the whisker fatigue is pushing, like trying to make a kitty cat pompadour out of their whiskers. They get whisker fatigue. So you buy your cat raised dishes. So that they get less whisker fatigue.
Okay. I didn't know that whisker fatigue was a thing, but my cat is a fucking slob, and she slobbers her chicken crumbs all over the goddamn kitchen. Yes. And so I bought her a product on Amazon called the Neater Feeder for Messy Eaters, and she would not eat out of it, so I gave it to Alex.
Dug a follow-up on the Neater Feeder. As we know, I have two cats, and it works great. Like the one is the trash cat who he also gets kibble everywhere because he gets too excited. But now he has figured out.
I'm sorry, Alex. I know you don't want to mention names. Is this the private cat who's an idiot?
No. Francis is the public cat who is an idiot. Ness is the perfect, beautiful angel who could never do wrong.
Got it. Okay.
But she has basically trained him to, after they are done eating, when he has like slobbered all over, it's caught by this like mechanism because like the bowls are in this little guarded like plate type tray thing. But he can now flip it up to get the kibble underneath. So it's still a better solution.
Oh, they found out that there's food under there.
Yeah. So, but then they sometimes they do put the bowls back. So it's still like a cleaner solution. But I'm like, God, you little bastard. I'm going to put this.
So it's a hit.
Yeah.
It's a hit.
So
the
thank you.
And the Cox
thank you, Max.
Family.
It is.
Good.
Francis Cox.
I'm glad someone is using the Neater Feeder for Messy Eaters. Mm.
There was this amazing article about how cats are basically, it was a turns out basically about how cats are kind of feral still, and we never really domesticated them. And the theory is that in like thousands of years, we could have just like, if we bred them like dogs, we could have like lion type sized cats in our house. And I don't know why anybody would want that, because if you've ever been bitten or scratched by a cat, it's not like a dog. Like they have fangs and their claws get incredibly sharp if they're not a scratcher. But I still
and the nicest cat can easily get very disengaged from any domesticity. Like the thing we've talked about this before, but the whole thing of like if a cat gets extremely comfortable, if a cat's comfortable, it will let you pet it and scratch it. If it gets super comfortable, some cats will let you like rub their stomach. But like at some point, that cat will realize, oh my God, I'm a fucking cat. And just go, wow, and just like flip out and like latch onto you because that's their instinct. That's the kitty inside the kitty.
I've never had, you know, in my three or four years of having cats, I've been very lucky in that neither of them do that. Like I, when
do you
Francis
rub the tummies?
Was a kitten, yes, Francis loves tummy rubs. But
you're
like,
so lucky.
Yes, I'm very, I am blessed with a precious tummy rubbing, loving angel. But he, and I trained him because he didn't like bite and latch on like you see in, oh, that was a good slime pop.
Ooh. I heard a crackle.
Anyway, but he now I've trained him to just roll over off of his belly when he's done and he's too overstimulated because they are smart. They can be like children.
Also, like if your cat scratches you, just yell, just go stop it, and they'll stop.
Boo.
Like
I actually, boo. I hiss at them. I hiss at him. That's what works. Like if you,
just
I
yell. Cats are like they're so dumb. If you just yell angrily. Honestly, they'll know that something is right. Just go, stop it. That's what I yell at my cat.
The thing about a cat is they're really good at detecting certain kinds of stimuli and like completely idiotic about every other kind. Mm-hmm. I like to just, as I've told you though, I just like to terrorize my cat a little bit. I want to keep her off balance. So every time I walk by her, I say, what are you doing?
Oh my God. What is wrong with you people?
that's, she knows who's boss. Then she knows
what are
who's
you
boss.
Doing?
Oh,
Lord,
my
eat some
God.
Pussy. I wouldn't be down here chewing on this thing like it's the paperboy's cock. It's a Stella Doro breakfast tree. What are you doing? Cut all that out.
Dig, dug. Did either of you see the whole NPR tweeting the Declaration of Independence? People freaking idiots.
Well, wait, now, who are the idiots? I think they're all idiots.
Yeah. No, NPR tweeted.
Oh, look at this. Look how dumb everybody is. How dumb everyone is. Oh,
whatever.
Boy.
NPR tweeted the Declaration of Independence. And then, like, fucking idiots, all of these, like, alt-right people were like, wow,
there's
the liberal
so
media is, like,
I
calling
can't
for...
say. There's so much I can't say. But, you know, here's a formula. I'm going to be a little bit classist for a minute. How about you stop deriving your understanding of how the entire fucking nation works by looking at people with six followers who aren't very smart? Maybe that's a thing you could do. Maybe like, when you see, like, a 1 million follower person out there doing that, that's concerning. But it's not. It's just somebody who's like fucking taking a shit and looking at their phone and going, that sounds really revolutionary. It's like, it's so like, this is, it's not helping anybody. It's like, oh yeah, like everybody, like every one of us can just cite the fucking Declaration of Independence from memory. Like,
all right,
we know,
I'm gonna read something now. Dugga, follow up. This is from the Madison, Wisconsin Capital Times. From 2001. 50 years ago today, John Patrick Hunter was the newest reporter on the staff of the Capital Times, and it befell him to be working on the 4th of July. Parker, a legend in Madison journalism, first as a reporter and then later as a city editor and managing editor, had no inkling of what the outcome of his study would be. But he wanted to measure how deeply the fear generated by the anti-communist crusade of Senator Joseph McCarthy and his minions had permeated the American soul. He found that 111 Madison residents were too scared to sign the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights on the 4th of July.
When he presented it as a petition, basically.
That is
right?
Correct. That is correct. Yeah. So he typed up a preamble to the Declaration, included 6 of the 10 amendments that constitute the Bill of Rights, added the 15th Amendment, put it in the form of a petition, mimeographed it, and then hit the streets. Of the 112 people he talked to that day at Madison's 4th of July celebration, only one, a Madison insurance agent, agreed to sign the petition. Ironically, quote, ironically, the guy who signed it, his ancestors came over on the Mayflower, Hunter recalled this week. He was Wentworth A. Miller, who worked at the Mutual Service Insurance Company. Quote, sure, I'll sign the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, he told Hunter. We were never closer to losing the things that they stand for than we are today. None of the others would sign. 20 of the 111 accused Hunter of being a communist. Quote, I can see you are using an old commie trick, putting God's name on a radical petition, one elderly man said. So I do think my thoughts on this are fairly straightforward, which are Americans are fucking idiots. They don't know anything about their history. All of their arguments of the founding fathers would have so-and-so and our freedoms and this and that, they're all asinine. They don't have any fucking clue what they're talking about, and they shouldn't be taken seriously at all. However, I guess I do somewhat agree with Merlin of, like, I don't think that's, like, the core issue at the heart of what's broken with America. Because Americans have never known anything. They've always been stupid. When we did all of the Great Society reforms after World War II, the average age of education of Americans, they had, like, a fourth-grade education. So, like, it wasn't a more romantic time where everyone was, like, you know, a professor of American history, you know, fucking walking around the market square and holding forth on the Bill of Rights. Like, nobody knew what they were talking about then either. It's sort of a moral and values argument to me.
No
people
one...
just put, they cared about their neighbors and they wanted to see the country succeed as a whole.
Okay, no, I'm not saying that, like, oh man, look at how dumb people are now, but I can't laugh at the few dumb men on Twitter, but you guys can yell at your cats.
I'm all in favor of making fun of people.
I think laughing at dumb guys is awesome. I'm just talking about, I'm being Max, I'm playing the character of Max this week and saying, like, who do you imagine that is helping and how in that case? So basically this is, you know, who fucking cares? You guys want a Yahoo? What is the quote from Hitler that was used in the movie Billy Jack by the little girl in the meeting? Did you guys ever see the movie Billy Jack?
What is happening right now?
Did you guys ever see that, Billy Jack? Let me hit you with this. What is the quote from Hitler that was used in the movie? This is a Yahoo user. Oh, the page went away. What is the quote from Hitler that was used in the movie Billy Jack by the little girl in the meeting? Do you remember this?
Is this a bit? What's happening?
She goes, It's in front of all the reactionaries. She goes, "The streets in our country are in turmoil. The universities are filled with students rebelling and rioting. Communists are seeking to destroy our country. Russia is threatening us with her might, and our republic is in danger. Danger from without. We need law and order. Without law and order, our nation cannot survive." And she says, "You know who said that? Adolf Hitler." And everybody goes, "Ooh, Adolf Hitler. Ooh, in your face, like you're quoting Adolf Hitler. You ready for a fucking triple turns out? Hitler never said that. Hitler never said that. It's from a communist magazine. It's from a communist magazine attributed to Hitler, spread through the movie fucking Billy Jack. And that's the kind of thing that happens. And you go like, oh, see, I'm really smart. I can quote Billy Jack. Well, you quote Billy Jack, you're actually quoting something from a communist magazine that was never Hitler at all.
Was this a Yahoo?
You guys want a Yahoo? Moving on. It's just sickening. It's sickening. You know, that's a good movie. That's a terrible movie that's very, very good. But this is what we do. And so we cite things. It's like you're a little kid going, oh, yeah, you think you're smart? Can you spell anti-disestablishmentarianism? And you're like, oh, I don't know. I guess we... And then you spell it. You're like, well, yeah, you just memorize that.
Have you seen the Vine of the young kid? He's like maybe a fourth grader, and he's yelling at some bullies or something. He goes, just so you know, you're disrespecting a future U.S. Marine.
That's what we sound like. That's what we
sound
like.
Do you know this one, Alex?
No,
it's so good. Let me find it. I'll play it on the microphone.
Oh, I miss Vine.
Oh, we all miss Vine.
Merlin doesn't miss Vine.
I do. I watched Gumbo's Vine compilation. It was really good.
Oh.
And I watched, you know, that Will Sasso. He's funny. I didn't get it until it was gone. I didn't get it at all until it was gone.
All right, I have to set the scene. So he's like a little kid, and he's wearing glasses. He's very young, maybe fifth or sixth grade. And you can just tell he's yelling at some, like, kids that are much bigger than him.
I think you're disrespecting a future U.S. Army soldier.
Thank you for your service. They did a, because we were in a hotel room, we watched a lot of shit TV, including a Shark Tank marathon. And it didn't occur to me until we'd watched two or three of these, in how many of them there was somebody from the military, and of course, Robert. What does Robert say every single time?
Somebody from the military.
Thank you for your service. Thank you for. And I turned to my wife. I was like, "What is happening?" And they're almost all terrible. They're always terrible pitches. I invented a backpack with Velcro. It's okay. All right, that'll be easy to get into. Just go straight into that backpack market. And I realized, duh, I don't think they called it this, but it was probably a marathon of all the military people.
Oh. Yeah,
it was called Thank You for Your Service Weekend.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is probably it's like Stolen Valor Weekend, too. Like the most.
Oh my
valor
God, you're probably
stolen.
Right. They should go through parades and check people's papers.
Mm, yeah.
Like the long form release paper.
Look at all the lapel
pins. Stop the Jesse White Tumblr. Sir, who is your commanding Tumblr? That's a joke. That's a joke for three people who live in the state of Illinois and go to parades.
I don't even fucking care. Stop there. It's perfect. It's perfect. You guys got anything else on slime?